are entering the Giant Rock Podcast. Kick back and enter a world that few know about, and even fewer understand.
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of your imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise,
the Secretary General of the United Nations, an organization of 147 member states, who represent almost all of the human inhabitants of the planet Earth.
All right. Here we are, Giant Rock Podcast. We have Garrett and Dan. Dan's been on before and everything with the podcast. We're going to have him recap everything, what he's been up to for the past year. And then he's going to introduce Garrett. So, Dan, what's up? What's the latest?
How's it going?
Great.
Doing good on a lot of new intuitive practices and understanding a lot towards, my empathic perception sense of meditation, experiencing a lot. So if you have any questions, please ask, man.
So like, since we talked last, you were using different methods that you've been teaching other people. What have you learned and gained in the last 14 months since we've talked last?
I gained a lot of new experiences in how energy is done through the body and the mind, and how you can make a connection with life around you. Very spiritual in the sense of emotional, but also physical, and how you can connect much more towards understanding nature and more deeper level of understanding bioresident field systems that are, there's all these levels of magnetism within the earth and also around us. So understanding a field of physics and quantum physics with the bioresonance and our bodies and the mind of consciousness, the subconscious, and how it works towards the subconscious mind is a non-thinking mind. It's only picked up from the data perception that we harness from the five senses, and then with the information that we gather through our lives, our conscious mind makes that happen. And so go for it.
So you have gained a lot of different things. Like, so you're talking about geomatic forces within our planet, around the universe, of course. And how does that coincide with what you're doing right now exactly? I mean, with that, okay, that aspect.
So I've been able to understand how to harness like negative ions into the body. So negative ions come into the body, mm-hmm, and we're positive ions. And they got these two polarities that we have. And I'm able to crush them, these two polarities, into like a sort of like a superposition state.
These are ions, right? You're talking about?
These are ions, yeah. Right,
okay.
So as I'm crushing them, they vibrate. And they give off magnetic fields. And that is where your aura field builds very strong. So I'm able to build my aura field in layers. So my aura field like can extend so rapidly now that I can shoot energy right through the screen. I wouldn't say shoot, but I can, yeah, I would project say that in a sense. I can project it in a really good, in a really good sense, even the visual perception, in the sense that I'm building it into like a blob and then putting it out there so others can feel. I'm getting some amazing response from people that are getting healed from this experience because they can physically feel it right through the screen of like, you know, social media. It's been went viral on TikTok. I went
are you there?
So it's been I'm there.
Okay. It's been viral on TikTok for you?
Yeah.
And I mean, and, so like with going back to how do you crush these ions? Is it through the conscious mind that you're using it?
Yeah, I'm using the conscious mind, but also the body. I'm absorbing this vibration by pulling up from the Earth's gravitational field. And then I'm just using a couple techniques like breathing exercises into the chakras to kind of concentrate this source of energy. And then I, you know, kind of like, birth it through my body. And it's actually an amazing experience. It's a very warm, soothing, relaxing, peaceful feeling of energy. And it's concentrated. It's like light, pure light, almost like plasma. That's amazing. And you can physically feel this right through the screen and get this like wow effect that makes people like, a lot of people have been saying to me they're depression is no longer there because they major magnet depression. They have major like headaches and migraines are no longer there when they watch the video. And over time, it just makes them even more happier because this energy is like within their body. I believe this level of magnetism is needed. I think it's magnetism. I believe it's maybe a light source of plasma. It's incredible experience, and I use it even when I get a little, you know, got a scratch in my leg, and I just use my phone to like hover over the wound. If I got a cut in leg from hiking or something, and it disappears in a matter of like 15, 20 minutes. It's remarkable.
So you're able to tap into these through your conscious mind and be able to heal certain things,
exactly.
not objects, but people, animals, physical beings.
No, I'm able to heal anything. I was able to heal about 45,000 people have watched me so far on social media towards this one video. And this, a lot of people are saying, I got coronavirus symptoms. My lungs are really hurting bad. And you know, their chest, you know,
explain the video. I mean, this is on TikTok. You're talking about it, right? So
yeah,
explain the video. What, you know, so everybody understands.
So I'm meditating, building this vibrant energy. Then I put it out there in the sense that's this very amazing distant experience of like, you know, it's very vibrant, very peaceful. You can able to feel the energy right through the screen. It's just like, it's very strong, very strong. It's a little spooky, a little different, but it has great potential on healing anything. It's remarkable.
So I'm looking at this. What am I seeing on the video? Like, since people on podcast can't visually see it right now, can you kind of explain what if I'm looking at it? What can you explain what I'm seeing that's doing that?
You just look at you'll be looking at my body, and you'll just be feeling this vibration coming through the screen. Yeah.
All right.
And this vibration is just, yeah, it's just intense. It makes people healthy. It heals their coronavirus and cancer. I've been working with a guy that's from New York. He's got like stage 2 liver cancer and no longer has it from doing a couple sessions with me. It's like remarkable.
So like, you know, like reason why I'm asking these series of questions, cause like, you know, like video is electronic, right? And you're talking about electronic magnetic fields. Electronic magnetic fields is through video itself too. It's like you're tapping into these, the electronic fields of the video camera.
I believe it enhances it as well, because right. Our phones has 26 different crystals. It's made out, you know, our smartphone technology. So yes, I think it's enhancing it a little bit, but I don't think it's, you know, I think that might be the reason why, but like I'm activating them, but it's really my aura field. If you meet me in public, it's pretty big too. I can probably fill up a room with like 20 meditators and they're all like experiencing astral projection without even taking any LSD ever again. I'm like a drug for a lot of people. Actually, it's a good thing. It gets rid of the drug, you know, addiction, you know, in the way that you can just feel this energy.
All the chakras are in place at all times.
Oh yeah. I've been doing some amazing healing work. I've been kind of avoiding some of the other abilities, but I still do it. The telekinesis and the psychokinesis, not so much the psychokinesis anymore, in the way of, you know, moving an object from a distance. And mostly when you have to build an aura field, you have to build perception, sensory perception. You get through, you have to make the connection with the object itself to actually tap this information into your mind from the subconscious. And then, you know, you use your aura field to kind of, to project it in the sense that you move it. I'm doing a little bit of it with telekinesis in the sense that you can use your body movement. That's why I feel like telekinesis is. You're using more like your hands instead of your intention, focus, awareness from a distance with psychokinesis. But I have done some other things with psychokinesis, like move objects through a Zoom video on somebody else's side. So it's it's remarkable, actually.
And back to the electronic magnetic fields, you know what I mean? That's where it's coming from. It's pushing it that way. You're able to train yourself for, you know, we're talking about 2 years now with that, you know, since we talked last, basically 14 months. And it's come a long ways, you know what I mean? Like your training. And then,
it's remarkable. And also have been a lot of experiences with the ET culture. Okay. And in a sense, the ETs, like I actually have like proof of, you know, photographs of ETs, remarkable experiences that, because that being a energy master practitioner, I would call myself, knowing I tapped in so many different practices of perception and meditation practices. I call myself a master, but I'm still learning, in the sense you're always learning, you know, so many things to learn out there. So I was able to do a practice with a guy that was from India, and I was able to have this energy connection. And it was remarkable. I made a documentary on my YouTube page about it and some of the things that I teach in there. But it was amazing experience in the sense that I was able to do actual projection meditation, telepathic communication with an ET. And this ET was really interesting looking, kind of like mammal, part like lizard, but very
lizard people, huh? Got lizard people.
It was like, yeah, it was between a lizard and like a mammal, because I was so clever. After the experience, I took a picture of my aura distortion field, knowing how big it is. Even I can shoot energy through a screen, people can feel it. I was able to take a picture of this being, and I got the photograph, outline, everything. It's amazing. So people that don't believe in ETs, well, come check out my page. I got plenty of them. So
they're always here. They're always here. And people say they're coming from other places. Man, they've been here before we even been here.
And that's another thing too, with the whole empathic sense of understanding these energy abilities that are physical and real, and also to the point that you can physically understand what I'm doing. And I set up right now, I do a lot of things on TikTok towards people who don't want to believe it. But then I say, okay, I'll set up a scientific measurement of level surface table. Here's a contractor level. It's totally flat. It's moving. The object I move is, you know, it's remarkable to see that, you know, like that's where, you know, scientists get baffled and, you know, other people are like jaw drop. What the heck's going on? So,
you know, the conscience mind is deep, you know, and yeah, everybody, everyone is able to tap into it, I think, you know, but it's just like a matter of, it's there, you know, like when you're a child, I think it's there more when you're a child, and then the conditioning of society, you know, pushes us into feel like we're failures, that we,
there's,
you know, like when you go to school,
there's a level.
You know, you go to school, you get the A, some people get the A, and then you feel lesser than if you don't get that A, you know, and then they make you feel like you're worthless at that too, the system. And I think, and then when you're get older, then you're like realizing, then that's what happens sometimes. Like it doesn't matter what age, you know. Interviewing so many different people about this, there's age groups are all over the board. There's not one demographic. It's like 32 to 45. You know, strictly male. It's everybody, and all ages too. I mean, children mostly that I. that I've talked to, and not on the podcast, but in, you know, like my relatives and everything, they're more in tune than we are. You know what I mean? When it comes to that, the conscience mind, you know, like I think we should train kids to do meditation when they're in grade school, you know, instead of nap time, do that, you know?
Yes. They should train kids with the learned perception, sensory perception, because that would change the world like 10 fold and be like amazing, because then kids could really learn how these abilities are conducted very fast. And it actually, telekinesis, when I teach the telekinesis on my platforms, because I have a lot of practices now I teach online, and telekinesis for children to pick it up is remarkable because it helps them build concentration, even in their daily life of school work and stuff they need to do, to, you know, the chores around the house, mom, dad, you know. So it really helps build the concentration, the awareness, and it's actually interesting and fun interaction with something that's different, but yeah. It helps build the clarity within the mind.
So and, here's a question.
Imagination too.
Here's a question. Now, like, you know, like you were talking about Facebook and everything the other day with me, and then Facebook had a, you know, a data breach where, you know, like 1.5 billion users got compromised with their information, addresses, social security numbers, bank information. And then a lot of people I know have left Facebook, and, you know, like TikTok is starting to blow up. And your feelings about Facebook and versus, you know, YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, I mean, and Twitter? I mean, what are your feelings on all these platforms?
Like, I feel like, you know, it's been like, you know, like I've been alienated in a way of like, really? I have these amazing gifts, but I'm really trying to promote it and get it out there. But it's still like, kind of like, you know, I'm like trapped. I'm like, you know, been, blocked or something. I don't know. Like, it's kind of interesting, but for Facebook, but like for TikTok, I've been kind of blown up. I went viral doing a telekinesis video and got 1.6 million views. I was like, what the wow.
Wow. What about versus YouTube? Like YouTube. I mean, you have YouTube. I mean, what's better, YouTube or TikTok?
TikTok's much better. The algorithm is so much better. And I'm doing much better on those type of platforms instead of my YouTube page.
Don't you see what I mean? Like there's like some kind of filters that are on there, like with Giant Rock Podcast, you know, like sometimes I'll post a picture and it'll hit 2,200 likes, and then something similar that just like the same thing almost, nothing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a lot of
hit and miss. And
it's a big mess, and towards our economy and our politics and the whole pandemic and all sorts of, you know, ways that people are not letting our information.
Yeah, the duality of everything on it. Like, because like with Baba, we were talking about, you know, like he uses it for spirituality like you do. You know, like he sees the good of that. And yeah, I, you know, same with, I see all that, but I see also the, this is Facebook I'm particularly talking about, not TikTok. TikTok's a different, kind of like MySpace. I look at TikTok like MySpace in a way.
Yes.
And which is, has more freedom. You know what I mean? All these restrictions and bullshit. You know what I mean? It's just, it gets.
And I'm trying to find more platforms like that to really launch a lot of this stuff that I'm getting into and more teaching.
But look what TikTok's done for you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You've gotten acknowledgement. You know,
I have.
And it's great for the ego. You know what I mean? Cool, man. Right on. You know what I mean? But it's like your whole thing is getting the message out and getting people into this. Like, hey, man, look at what I'm doing. Fuck, man. Check this out.
Yeah, I'm a very bold person.
Yeah,
and I think with my techniques and abilities and masteries of discipline, it's just, you know, it just keeps on growing. But
right.
I have that bold personality, that kind of like that secret space program veteran, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, oh yeah, we have a space force. We had one forever, man. Give me a break. Hey, but like, let's get into Garrett, your guy that you've been training.
Yeah, the guy trained. Yeah.
He's let's like, get cool into guy, hey, Garrett, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing. How are you guys?
Great. Let's get into your backstory. I want to get into your, like, how do you start your awareness, you know, your conscious awakening, you know, go into that.
All right. So it would probably go back until like maybe 3 years ago. That's when it all began, around the end of the summer. It was kind of a time I was coming out of a depression. I didn't really know exactly what even anything was at all. I didn't know anything, felt completely lost. I grew up in a very Mormon family. So with the construct of all those belief systems that were just kind of drilled into my mind, it really hit hard when high school came around, because then of course you're trying to at least feel like you fit in a little bit. And
yeah,
with the way that you're essentially trained in growing up, it makes it very difficult. And so of course, then you start going against the wheel and try fighting against the current, whatever. And then life just fights back harder. And so it beats you down until essentially I was at rock bottom. And it did get to that one little fine line where it was like, what am I going to look to? If I can't, I mean, nothing that I've ever been told has ever come to be true. I can't trust anything that anybody says, social media, the news, all of it, fake. So, you know, where do you go? And so that's when it kind of comes to that point where you turn inwards. And, you know, I was always that kid. Everybody would kind of just, you know, they'd randomly meet me and then they would just spill out their whole life to me real quick, even though I have all my own problems. And it's like, I don't even really know what to do for myself, but yet everybody's still coming to me for this information. And so it was like, okay, so if I can help other people, then I should be able to help myself, right? So that's when it kind of came down to, it was all or nothing. I either let go of everything or I turn everything that I know or thought I knew inwards and try and break it apart and digest it for myself, see what I'm tasting. And oh my goodness, I've had thousands of mind-blowing experiences that absolutely just shatter reality and all of the BS, the belief systems that form the matrix.
So how old were you when this happened, when you know, decided to let it go, let these thoughts go? And you're talking about within. I was everything. I was looking in within myself. And letting the thoughts go, you know, and that's the most important thing. Let it go. Let it be. What can you do? I mean, when you talk about the past, when we bring up the past and you talk about pains of the past, and that's what everybody, these are thoughts that we cling to. And I'm speaking for myself too. And
for sure.
Especially for myself, you know, like, and then it's a easier said and done than let it go. Let these thoughts go, let it go. Cause what we're doing is clinging on to these thoughts, and these thoughts are hurting us still. But we find comfort in these thoughts to a degree because we have grown to the comfort of these thoughts.
Exactly. My thoughts on that are, I mean, it's even literally like take it back to Disney. We've got Frozen and you let it go. But if you don't know how to, it will unravel in some very wild ways. And I mean, you could just go and build an ice castle with it if you wanted. But I mean, odds are you're not going to do that in town or else you'll be taken out. But so with letting go, for me, what's really reshaped my reality is literally reshaping the way that I think about it all. What's real? It's real.
The truth.
You,
really. The truth.
And
what
so,
is truth? You know what I mean? Because when you talk about real, that is truth.
Exactly. And you can make it true no matter what.
Exactly.
And so the past, I mean, you have one experience that most, like a lot of people, everybody has this one experience and you just cling to it and you cling to it and you cling to it and you keep adding new BS belief systems to it. Why this happened, how this happened, what you did wrong to make it so it happened in the first place. All of these new reasons to make it so that that even has a part to play. And then you just keep on stacking these layers. And it's like this one little thing that you're holding on to, it starts to grow and it's just growing into like this big, massive cinder ball. And then this cinder ball turns into eventually you're holding the weight of the world on your back. And the sec you let go, you're going to be crushed under it all. And I mean, with healing my past, because I'm not perfect. It's hard. It's hard to heal the past and bring it back to the future and just allow yourself to feel okay.
Garrett, here's something for that. These pains are part of you. No way to get rid of these pains because they are part of you. Since they're part of you, and these are thoughts that you're letting, that again, it's the comfort of the thought.
It is.
And
I'm glad you said that.
And it's part of you, and let it be part of you, and take that thought and file it.
Yes.
And put in it. This is this file right over here, and if it comes up, oh, that's that one. Okay, I let that go.
Yeah.
And that's where you start letting it go more. I mean, you're still on your pathway. We're all learning still. Like Dan said, we're never stop learning.
And I mean, we're just slowly chiseling what we want. That makes me really think back, because now I'm thinking back to when I was reframing my mind, and it really did consist of 24 hours day in and day out of me sitting there just watching my thoughts all day. If I had any sort of negative thought at all, I would instantly replace it with something better, instantly. And I would just do this process over and over and over and over until finally the time that I was put into it finally started to work in my favor. And then now I'm working with new thoughts, and now I'm shaping these thoughts into even bigger thoughts. And then these are actually manifesting. And so now I can take these thoughts, compile them with these manifestations, see how those all play together, mix them with this. I know this worked in the past too, so let's see if we can blend these together and then, you know, combine it. It's like bringing literally the past and the future together. How do you want your past to be, and then bring it back to the future?
Oh, your pathway. the maps are laid out, and with that saying, that is just like your pathway is laid out to a degree. You're just following. You're just going to the pathway that's already laid out, and I think you're on a good pathway. No matter what you know, everybody's on a pathway. You know, everybody's on their journey or quest. You know, one form or another. So like it's, you know, and you're letting these thoughts go, you know, that's like, yeah, that's the big deal. Well, no one could barely do that. It's really, really hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
And, it's part of the conditioning of upbringing. And it's not your parents' fault. It's society set this up. Western society. Mostly Western society. I mean, if you look at, you know, the religions of Western and Eastern society, they're the exact opposite. You know, you know, so like, it's kind of nice to have the blending of both in a sense, a disciplinary to a degree, I guess, you know,
it is. I mean, you got to experience so much to be able to experience what you want. I mean, there is a quote like, you know, a wise man is never wise unless he was once young and stupid. And you got to experience what's out there in order to really know what's in it for you and what makes sense for you. And I mean, I guess there are always downsides, but that's when we get to choose if that quote unquote downside is actually even a downside or a blessing in disguise that is opening us up to new opportunities that could be 10 years down the line, but just because of whatever it might be, it became a potential opportunity or possibility that could, you know, feed enough energy to it and maybe it'll happen.
Well, the dog agrees.
Yeah.
Dog I love it.
She likes to do that a lot.
All right. Let's get her opinion in. All right, man. That was great timing. Seriously, I love it.
Yeah, she always does it. I don't know.
See the moment here and now. So, like, hey, you know, like, seriously, like, where you, like, you've come, sounds like you've come a long ways in your life so far. And where you see yourself, not necessarily the spirituality, like what you're learning from Dan. I mean, how did that all start? Maybe let's start with that. How did that start? Where you two met?
So we actually haven't met in person. Mm-hmm. I'm out in Utah. So we are a few states away. I've had a lot of really, really wild experiences. I can leave my body. I can communicate with quote unquote extraterrestrials and other higher dimensional beings that will stream light downloads to me. And I'll do remote viewing and I'll actually observe their mindset and I'll reframe their mindset to how I would like it for myself.
Is this through meditation? So can, part meditation?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just reprogramming my subconscious mind, really. Right. Replacing awesome. What was into what I want it to be. And over time, it got very, very easy. It took a couple years and thousands of hours to have my first experience. But after that, they just happened all the time. And it was a constant new normal. And that was when, maybe 2 years ago, probably, I found out that telekinesis was possible. I saw somebody do it. And ever since then, it was just kind of on the horizon. I knew it was possible, but I knew that I wasn't to the level that I could personally do it myself. And so I continued on my meditations, all of my whatever, my astral travels, and just gaining the knowledge I feel like I need to be able to really make instant manifestation real. And that's my whole main goal, is to make it so that thoughts have been so refined to the point where every single one is structurally balanced and instantly manifested and materialized. And with that, of course, I'm telling myself what's going to happen before it happens. And then I'm watching how long it takes for it to happen. And then I'll condense that process and recreate it. So that's how I connected with Dan, of course. I knew that I needed to get in contact with somebody who already knew how to do it. But there was kind of funny, but Dan actually blocked me at first because he thought I was the Illuminati. And that was a clear sign to me, like, wow, this guy is actually legit. Obviously, if he wouldn't have done that, I mean, what else does that say? But, and so we ended up talking over Gmail and then finally got on a FaceTime. We were talking on the phone for maybe a couple hours, and that's when he actually was able to do it for me over FaceTime. And so I actually screen recorded it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, you know, he's got his little white basket out on his back porch, and it's got two pinwheels on there, and he's only moving one of them though. And they're right next to each other. If there was wind, they would both be moving. So I'm looking at these like, wow, this is actually real. He's doing this real time for me on a long FaceTime. Like, it's not something planned, like whatever. It was out of the blue. And so that's when, I mean, me and him connected for a little while. And then ever since, we've just been in contact, and maybe say once a week or maybe a little bit more.
When did this we'll start? When did you guys just when did this start, Dan? When did you guys start working?
About 6 months ago.
Okay.
Maybe a year. About 6 months. I would say 6 months. I would say back in April, I think he contacted me. Maybe, oh, that's more than 6 months. It's like 8 months. But yeah.
So it was a week after my birthday. Actually, that's July. So I don't know what month it is really, but.
So, like, okay, well, so explain some of the things when you guys first met and you start working together. What happened?
Dan, want to tell them about our experience when you actually felt the Moldavite for the first time?
Oh. Yeah, I was able to, he was able to teach me an out-of-body experience where in astral projection state where you can actually strengthen your soul chakras. I never knew that you can strengthen your soul chakras within this out-of-body state of high clarity consciousness. So no thoughts, no emotions. You're in this state of being of infinity consciousness. This is where you have the connection to ether. You go in this ether state, you see, you have your higher self, you see this. You're not using imagination. This happens automatically. So from there, you can start strengthening your chakras. So you strengthen your chakras within this other dimension of your higher self. And when I was doing this, I brought back energy from the ether connection in the sense that it went straight down into my crown, through my body, and right out of my hand like a lightning strike. It was intense. It was real ether, pure ether energy.
Can you explain the meditation method so people could visualize it?
Yes, I will explain it. So you're sitting on the floor, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. You're getting to clarity. So it's always trying to get to the state what you guys just kind of talked about, in the sense that you need to find no thoughts within your mind. In the state that you have to hold clarity intention. So holding clarity intention is a way to sharpen the mind. And that's probably the first thing a lot of meditators need to learn how to do. And then eventually you work in energy, chi life force. You build up this connected field of aura, external, like I said, with quantum healing, but also internal to strengthen. And then you can actually, you know, like bloom this experience of astral body connection, where you go into a state of everything is so, it's a remarkable state. It's like everything is nothing within this time space. And this infinity of consciousness and knowledge given to you in every single dimensional of angles. And it's just remarkable experience. You can only see it with visual perception. And you can't add thought into it, because you add thought into it, it starts to fog up.
Right.
So when it fogs up, sometimes I experience it. I go back to the body within meditation, and it makes my body like worn out, weak. This is what the Buddhists say in the sense of enlightenment, higher state of consciousness, you know, and you are a soul, a living being of light, infinity of everything within ether, and you have this amazing connection to every living, you know, source,
everything
in this universe, everything,
everything, even the chair, the potato.
Yeah.
So like, yep. Ram Dass said something similar to what you're saying in a way where people completely understand it. And he said, like, what you're talking about is when you wake up at night and you have to go to the bathroom and you're kind of in that middle of that dream state, that's what Dan's talking about. It's kind of like you're in between a dream state and reality. Am I correct or where I'm off?
A little bit. It's like, it is the same, like you're saying, but as I'm progressing within this ether connection, the visual awareness of this experience of holding clarity and breathing within the state of clarity will broaden out this experience. See, if you breathe in within the state with the awareness of the state, so you have like two awarenesses. You have the awareness of your body. You have, on what I have is awareness of my body on the ground. So I'm connected to earth energy. And I'm also awareness of this experience. I have to be very careful to not think or process any emotion within this experience. So it requires a level of discipline, pretty wild discipline. And then as you breathe within this experience, you're broadening out this experience. I teach how people can bring back their memories of their childhood, you know, towards breathing into their experience of that memory. That builds that consciousness awareness of a past memory of a situation. It could be anything. So it's the same type of thing. You're putting this light energy into this experience just with breathing as you're focusing onto this experience. Now, as you're in this experience, eventually sensory perception overrides the experience with your body. So you will feel, taste, touch, hear, smell things as well. And you can be walking around. You can be interacting with other, you'll be interacting with anything. I've been on planetary systems. I've been on starships. I've been, on different times of this planet. I've seen all sorts of things. I actually discovered a way that you could go into a meditation state and just almost like freestyle it, in a sense that it just takes you into this extra projection state, and it's remarkable. But I also found a way that you can target things through programming your subconscious by looking at a photo and feeling the sensory perception of the photo to harness this sensory perception data, and then holding it in clarity. So you're kind of like meditating before, and then you're using this data to experience within this ether. And I can find anybody in time. So,
and then, but, you know, like the indigenous people of the Navajo Nation and the Hopi in Southwest Americas believe that photographs are capture the spirit. And in modern, now, if you go to the traditional Hopi or Navajo tribes, they will not let you photograph them. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to interview a few
Navajos. A photo can tell a million things, so you can actually easily understand energy. I can feel energy through a screen. I can feel energy. I can send energy of this healing energy, and then I can pick up on what the person's cooking in the other room, like a cooking channel. It's remarkable. And smell the fumes and of what they're cooking on the cooking channel or anything. It's really remarkable. I can feel people's shirts when I watch television. I can understand when I watch a movie that these parts are cut out because I can't feel real textures because it has a blue screen where they, you know, added, you know, special effects into it. It's really remarkable.
And you were talking about ions, electrons, and geomagnetic forces. And these are all part of television, you know, and cell phones and exactly. all electronics, everything. You know, it's like, you know, like it could be not just, you know, like ETs, and it could be a spiritual embodied of spirits. So it could all different levels, you know what I mean? So like, what does Garrett have taught you these things with meditation you're talking about?
Yeah, we talked about a meditation experience where he explained to me that you can strengthen your chakras within the astral body as well. And because I strengthen my chakras to do telekinesis and spiritual healing, build my aura field very strong to the point that I could almost levitate. but yeah, I think the next thing on my list would be levitating my body.
What about you, Garrett? I mean, did Garrett do this? Garrett, do you do that?
Garrett.
Do I do telekinesis?
Yeah, just like what, you know, what Dan said.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working with it for roughly, I mean, ever since July, a week after I turned 19. So I've been able to pull off some things of wood. I can pull them off, or I'll spin a water bottle on occasion. I can connect with the aura field of plants, and I can actually use what I discovered as intelligent infinity. And I actually send conscious vibration through my hand, and I become that vibration, and then wake up the other particles that are also vibrating around there. And then from that, all of it kind of blends together and becomes one full conscious entity. And so I can actually, I mean, it's how really all of it works, is you're adding intelligence and consciousness to matter, which is vibrational energy, period. It's everything. And so being able to connect with, of course, your inner world, and it is a reflection from the inside out. That's what life is. And so by being able to connect to every fiber of energy within yourself, you can also turn that outwards and tune that into whatever's outside of yourself. And so if you can change yourself, then you can also use that same concept and technique to change what would be on the outside. It would just be quite literally the exact opposite.
So Dan, what were you going to say, Derek? Dan?
Well, you know, this kid's amazing because he can experience some amazing experiences. And in the sense, when I sent energy through the screen one time and he felt it, I actually felt a very strong telepathic communication with this kid, where I can actually see like visual perception of, and it's just remarkable what he's, you know, sending me, I'm sending him back. So we're experiencing telepathy on a major level. So
imagery,
yeah. You know, memories, all sorts of things. And the memories go deep, even with objects that, you know, even he said like earlier to me, you know, yesterday, and it was like, he could touch an object within the screen, and he can actually feel the energy of the person with that memory as they kept it, you know, like as their, you know, item, like another, like in the sense that somebody has something on their table or they're doing an interview, like on, you know, like, you know, Facebook or something, and they touch that object, and, you know, we can feel that. So as they travel with that object, we can see like their entire house where they live. So it's another form of like spycraft in a way. So
can you still see it after it's played several times? I mean, can you go back and have that same thing happen?
I can hold clarity and tension on these intentions. I can actually hold them, and almost like when I'm holding it, it's like I'm just like downloading this memory of it, and it's just locked. I can go right back into it. And then I can go into a meditation state and blow it all up and really understand everything. You know, it's really it's kind of interesting and kind of creepy at the same time, because it's, you know, but I'm not like going around. I mean, I can do so many things with the astral projection, remote viewing, that I remote viewed over 30 different, you know, places that are, I'm trying to find some answers towards disclosure. So
what kind of,
I've done a lot of remote viewing. So
what kind of disclosure are you trying to find?
I'm going to say this right now. A lot of my stuff is real. I mean, it is real. All my stuff is real. Okay. Telekinesis, psychokinesis, this quantum healing that I can shoot through the screen, the pictures, the UFOs I have, the videos that I have of UFOs coming down. I mean, ETs, the stuff's real. And the stuff I'm teaching is real. So this is a level of disclosure that a lot of people are unaware of, in the sense that a lot of people watch the awareness of disclosure, but so, and that's will always be there, in the sense that we can just watch these UFOs, but for, to understand the energy and all these experiences that I teach for other people to experience it, I wanted to know that this is real. And so if I reveal some of this information, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's serious, you know, so knowing that you,
well, whatever you feel comfortable with, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. I remote viewed like different military bases, and I can take a picture of like an officer, like from Google Image, anybody, you know, look at photographs, and I've absorbed their information, and then I follow them like shadow. Like it's called shadow work. So I follow them into the bases itself. And then, you know, they're high level ranking officers. So, you know, you're following them around. And I have found a lot of propelling evidence that's just unbelievable. Now, to get a good perspective of how I'm, in a sense, like what I'm trying to say is like, I can tell you this story, you could believe it or not, but how can you get definitive proof of this is actually a real thing? Well, I have an idea to actually have people understand my experience is real, and how to get real-time definitive proof of this experience when I could do astral projection. So I came up with an idea of building this device that's really remarkable. I just trying to get funding for it. And it's a way to take thermal cameras and see my aura field as I'm traveling, because it's all light. And if you can use thermal infrared scanners or thermal cameras, high resolution cameras, pointed at the practitioner, that's the actual projection practitioner. And because within the actual projection state, the aura field will build very strong. And so the light will emit from this experience, and someone could build a 3D mapping software, real-time information, to understand where this actual projection remote viewer is traveling to or away from or around. So you'll able to see energy distortion within this dimension of my aura. This is where you can see walls, or maybe I'm traveling through light years or inside buildings and around things, even talking to ETs itself. So this gives a really good glimpse into consciousness to really bring out this information more for, and this could be great for this platform, this type of, device that can be easily built, could bring out great information towards neuroscience, quantum physics, even military applications.
So with Garrett, I mean, you and Garrett are working on these things together, or is it, how's that, how you guys work together?
We work on a lot of stuff towards understanding, what they're kind of up to, because we're very empathic. we can feel, understand things like I'm saying. And so we have a lot of information on like what's above us towards a lot of the galactic information. And also, so you see maybe people talk about, you know, on like Gaia Network and stuff like that. They talk about these galactic ships and the galactic information on this Galactic Federation stuff. So we know a lot about that because we can experience stuff like that as well. It's pretty wild.
What do you think, Garrett? Let's hear Garrett's.
Okay, so what me and some of the shamans I work with, what we consider it is holding space. So when you're holding space, you are using every fiber of your being to hold this one moment in space and time, wherever that may be. And that could be in the past or the future even. So this is when it comes down to, you really are stuck in the moment. Like you, not even the awareness of the fact that this moment is extending, that doesn't even exist because you are holding so much weight into this one moment that you have frozen it in time and space. You have held space completely with this. And so what we do, or what I do, especially when I communicate with these higher dimensional beings, is I will use every fiber of all the energy that I have to hold space with these beings. I will use everything that I can possibly make tangible to power up my body enough to feel the vibration that they are operating at. Once I can, I've had my spirit guides walk me through this process. I can allow them to come into my presence in their spirit form, and they can touch my body and send signals through my cells and wake up specific DNA molecules or whatever to help me achieve this in a more efficient manner. So what I'll do is I will get to their vibration. I'll hold space with that, and I'll hold it until the point I can feel it vibrating so fast in all of my cells that I almost feel as if I'm about to blow up. And then I relax, and then I make that intenseness the new normal. And when I can do that, that makes it so that this, that once was very intense and hard to make possible, is now just completely at ease, and I can have telepathic communication and conversations with these entities. They can show me visions. They can portray the picture in the correct manner for my layer of consciousness and where I'm at in my life. And they can, back to what you were even saying about how the Indians, they say that, say it one more time, about how when you take a picture of them,
it captures their spirit. They feel that it captures their spirit, and that's what they don't, that's why they don't allow photographs with them anymore, because of that.
So yeah, I'm not like that personally, but I know why they are like that, is because what I can, same thing with what Dan was mentioning with empathy and being empathic and being able to tap into sensory data perception and being able to almost quite literally be in that one moment with them as them. So if you are looking for a specific person, you're going to remote view an area looking for this vibration that is held within the essence of that person. You would then be able to go to a picture. Imagine this past taken picture as a present moment. You imagine yourself looking at them, feeling their emotions radiate off of them, how they feel in that present moment. How do they feel when they were taken, when that picture was taken? You tap into that to the deepest level you can possibly make tangible. And then you take this almost imaginary process and you turn it inward to yourself, like it was an actual real experience that you experienced yourself. And from there, you can then, so this is how I can feel the mindset of higher dimensional beings, is when they're communicating with me through telepathy, I'm actually able to take that vibration that was sent to me, open it up like a book, and then it's like I'm dissecting every single cell of the page and all of the pages inside the book, and I'm pulling it inside of me and I'm letting it kind of just shut and then close until I want to open it back up. And so I'll hold that space of them. And so I can even go back to that and I'll remote view their mindset, their full mindset. So what it feels like to have their mind. And then you embody that to such a high degree that you can then personalize it within your life. And this is how, I mean, I can scroll through Instagram and I can even, I don't even got to be on technology. I could be in a room surrounded by 10 people and I can look at them in the eyes and I can see myself through them because they're looking at me and I'm able to see it like it's a mirror in a mirror. And I can actually take their vibration, their most optimal vibration at the core, and I will open it up in a sense. And by doing that, I'm able to perceive of what they're perceiving as it's myself. And then from there, I'm able to even see what people are imagining. I can hear thoughts. I can, whatever I want, all I have to do is open it up and be open to that experience. And so that it's a universal concept that applies to anything. So intergalactics, you could do it with people through Instagram. You can see what people, what's going through people's minds when they're doing a live stream, or if they are, say for me, if they're doing flips, you know, how are they perceiving this experience? How can you perceive of them perceiving this? And how can you make that personal to you and then make it real?
Right. I mean, you're like the energy off a photograph. You, even when you have photographs in your home, you know, you go to someone's house, you can like kind of get the vibe off it. Like you look at a photo or a painting. You know, think of the energy that's put in an oil painting, a pencil, pen and ink, any artistry itself. You know, even if it's put on print, that could be itself too. And then when you're talking about everything is about the here and now, like I'm in this present moment, I'm in their moment. You know what I mean? And that we're talking about, and then that moment, you know, perceiving of the future, moment of the perception of the future. And for the future hasn't been written, that future, that is that perception of that timeline of the future based on time and relativity. Because if you went back to time to try to kill your grandfather, would you exist? Yes, because you created a time machine to go back in time to kill your grandfather. That creates the infinite amount of timelines. So
it does.
In that, we got to take a break. and this is Giant Rod Podcast, and we got Garrett and Dan talking about remote viewing and everything, and we'll be right back, and I got
to
go.
Saganda says, keep your ear to the speaker. We're working through a time zone.
Love is the key. La, la, la.
But listen, Catullus, didn't I see you at the racetrack bar last Thursday? You had this great whale of a cunt with you. Must have scaled 190. One breast flopped loose, dressed in a lavender sheet. I believe I heard her pass wind in public.
We usually don't pick up hitchhikers. But I'm gonna go with my instinct on this one. Saddle up, partner. You're it.
You're at Quincy's.
Any Quincy's.
You're at Quincy's. No, any Quincy's, no Starcy's.
You can't do that.
Can't do. Cannot. Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot. Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch blue, make it true.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd, Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Knocking on my door at 7 a.m. They had a warrant out for my arrest. What's your name? Where's your identification? I was half naked, so they didn't come inside, figuring they'd caught me in mid-fuck. They were right. Coitus Interruptus LAPD is a drag. I showed them alias number 3. They said, oh, well, where is she? I said, man, she was staying here, but she hooked up with some nigga and split. Okay, okay. And they left. I went back into the bedroom. You were naked and still hungry, curious. What was that all about? Nothing, I laughed. Took off the rag I was wearing, eased into the sheets next to you. We started fucking again, but things had changed.
What is it that you feel when you feel I? What do you do when somebody says, pay attention? What is the difference between looking at something and taking a hard look at it? Or between hearing something and listening intently? What's the difference? What's the difference between waiting while something goes on and enduring it?
Annoying sound in the world.
Guys!
Fellas, I think we could.
I know everything about it is appealing, stealing everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing. people like show people. There's no stealing like stealing show people. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops. Even when you are stealing the turkey that you know will hold, you may be stealing out in the cold. Still you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the stealing. 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 And
to get off. Dispense the lights. Cross and propagate disposal of the clause on the matter of the first party. Unprotected, benign, of course, of course. All dependent on the fact with mechanicals. Vast royalties of uncharted contracts to the party of the first part. Bud Flip. Exactly. Vast royalties contingent upon reversal of said clause in the manner of denial. The party in the first part. Undamaged. All good intentions relating to the established demographics. You'll find all the necessary data in the folders directly in front of you. Market saturation, de-evaluation, project sham with heavy, heavy profile history. extra effort, hype, extra shit licensing, mechanicals, copyright sanction, deluxe, plus ad copy, and slick station. Effort elastic, trashy kidneys, stink twice. Consumer profile, long, hard hours. Saturation, deep throat and suck production. Promotional allowance, debit on the party of the first part. Bud flip, exactly, and stuck. All day interview slash glad hand, nothing that anyone needs, built to rot. Points on units in excess of, and an allowance of, and anticipation of future return crap delegation. Insert, slip, and strangle the dollars right out of you, baby. Must close the door and do some heavy, heavy washing.
And when it's grown enough, thought loses its power to make you unhappy, loses its power to bring about a state of stress inside you, to make you suffer, basically. So as awareness arises, awareness grows, the power of thinking to make you unhappy and to distort your experience of reality diminishes. And so, and that's the transitional stage. And then you come to a stage where stressful thoughts don't even arise anymore. But the most important thing is already when thoughts, if they do still arise, the intermediate stage, they are recognized as stressful thoughts, so they lose their hold over you. In other words, the mind loses its hold over you. There's no longer a total identification with who you are and your mind.
Back, Garrett and Dan and Garrett and Dan and Garrett and myself, and we're back, and we're talking about telekinesis, and we were talking about telepathy, we're talking about remote viewing and the conscious mind, how strong it is. And I really want to get into your, both of you have seen UFOs, and explain all that. When both of you seen the first time you started seeing, and they stopped, never stopped coming, you know that. So, anyway, when did it all start? Whoever wants to start first, go for it.
I'll start. So when I was got into the meditation, you know, when I was a kid, progressed through, you know, the anxiety, depression with meditation, and got up to more of a stronger intention with meditation, understanding how you really focus in the mind and clear the thoughts, the emotions within the mind, strengthening clarity, and having the awakening. My first awakening was really strong, but then eventually I have these experiences of other stuff that I didn't never experienced before. And one was, because I started to really experience a lot of these astral projection states of meditation where I could just do it on naturally, but, and I was starting to experience some interesting things. I saw like a UFO where I was able to go inside the UFO and then see the being fly the craft and within this astral body state. And it scared me. I jumped back out of it. I was really freaking out. And because I was always scared of UFOs and ETs, my brother, he would sit on the couch from a young, and, you know, and he would just antagonize me with a bunch of ET dolls he had from like the movie Aliens, you know, freak me out and stuff all the time. Like, you know, so it's like, I was kind of scared and worried, you know, like scared of these things. But then I took the bold step to really understand what I was experiencing through this actual body state. And, my first experience was, in the sense where I was able to take a video and capture it, was 2020. November 3rd last year. So
a few months ago, right?
I was just meditating and hanging out with actually an ex-girlfriend. And I saw this thing come out of the sky from a distance. It was hovering over the tree line. I like got that on video, and it was remarkable because I was just like, I thought it was a fallen object or something. And I started like, oh no, this is a saucer, because it was a saucer shape. It was white. It was, the sun was going down, so it was around sunset, so it would mimic off the metallic disc of it, would the light would mimic off of it in a way it would make it, you know, white glowing, like white glowing. And it was pretty far distance, but you know, with the new technology that we have with our smartphones, we can really zoom in with our megapixels and really capture stuff. That's a good thing these days, right?
Oh yeah, having your cell phone with a good camera, right? Yeah.
I mean, that's disclosure right there, just with have an iPhone and Android these days.
Yeah, because
great megapixels they come out with.
It's one thing saying, "Hey, I saw it." Another thing saying it, "Here's the photo to it."
Yeah, another thing is when I saw it, I had an airplane flying over, so I take the phone and aim it up the sky and say, "See, it's not an airplane, it's a UFO, you know, and that's a great comparison you can do if you ever capture a UFO.
What did it look like? When I caught one during the daytime in Morongo Valley and outside of Yucca Valley, what, mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And I saw it like, first I saw a set of them in Palm Springs, and they were just like, they were heading north. And I caught that on video. Then, like, on the way up going towards Joshua Tree, I caught him in the Morongo Valley. One just hanging there, and planes were flying by it and everything.
Yeah, that's the best when you can do a comparison shot of it, and people will know it's, you know, some. Another thing that I could do, even with videos where I see online, I can feel the energy, energy incursion field, because I work with magnetic energy of telekinesis and the quantum remote healing. So when we build these sensory perception skill sets up, I can actually relate it in the sense that it is real or if it's fake from CGI, what people put out there. So,
yeah, you know, like when the Tegatron, I went on the first moon of 2020 of January, and I was catching the sunset, and it was like the moon was like full moon, first full moon of the year. And then, like, I was doing the CE5 meditation and the tones, and then using the green laser. And I thought I saw it was, I thought it was a drone, but it damn thing flew so quick right in front of me. It was like blink of an eye right there. I got scared. And then halfway there driving, I'm like, I shouldn't be fucking scared. This is come back.
I got it in a practice where I was meditating, where it's teaching CD5, and it's a 3-step process practice. And I actually have it on my Patreon now. And it's a practice where I was able to just meditate, transcend my body to another higher form of myself, and kind of like do a building block ladder into the ionosphere, into space, and then, you know, into the cosmos, and actually do this guided meditation in the sense of, you know, how, you know, the CD5 practice would go about, but a little bit different. And then what happened was, as I'm explaining the practice after the practice was taking place, I was showing that there was distortion within the clouds. There was like all these puffy clouds, and then this one cloud in front of me was actually spreading apart. And then a big giant saucer comes right out of it. It's like remarkable. So it's actually right in the practice itself with the feedback. So
yeah, they hide in the clouds, man. They've disguised themselves as clouds. Like I've seen, there was like a cloud, and then, you know, and then it was moving and going down and up, And then it was like, and then it kind of pulsated. And then I started looking around. This is around Giant Rock too. And then I looked up, they had a space conference in 1954 where a deputy sheriff took a snapshot over Giant Rock during the space conference. And they had like 30,000 people there. And this is in 1953. This is one of the first contactees. And, they had there, it's online. I have it on my, on giantrockpodcast.com. It's on in the gallery. It's a, the guy has a, it's a cloud, and, but you could tell it's a UFO right over the conference and everything. It was translucent.
Oh, yeah. What happens is I think the incursion field, the minute incursion field creates this static, almost it captures the, you know, the cloud itself in a way, like, you know, it like breaks apart the other part of the clouds most of the time, but yeah, it comes through, but it's almost like it's camouflaging itself. It's really interesting, but there is a outline shape of a freaking disc. So
that was your experience for the first time like that, or
no? The first one was when I was just meditating and hanging out with my ex-girlfriend at the time last year. And we saw this saucer from a tree line. And then the other one was this practice that I was doing CD5 and of actual projection right underneath a water tower. Mm-hmm. And I was using the water tower as a way to connect.
Oh yeah.
Within the practice itself, in the sense that you don't need a group of people, you can use buildings to create it like an antenna. So I use this,
an antenna is a conductor.
Yeah, exactly. A conductor to connect. And that it surely came out of the clouds. I got full proof of it right in the practice itself. So it's a great practice to learn.
Wow. What about you, Dan? What's your story?
Well, Garrett,
I know Garrett, but I'm asking Dan.
Well, that was me.
Oh, the Dan. You guys sound the same in a way. It's weird. Wow, sorry. You sound the same, man.
Damn, you're the same person, dude.
You're like, you're hanging out together so much, you're starting to sound the same. Okay. Messing with my head. All right, Dan.
He is.
Oh, that's God, awesome. Love it. Shit. Messing with the host. They're messing with the host.
Yeah. Ever been hypnotized or what?
Yeah, well, your guys are doing something to my head, all right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to like, and there's like, there's interference in my consciousness right now. I feel it.
Oh, man.
You guys, stop.
Data that. Perception.
Yes, I feel it. But strange. No, yeah, that's great stories, really.
Well, Garrett got some great information. All right. I ask him.
All right, Garrett. Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Garrett, tell me.
Garrett said he was going to go first, too. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so I actually live out kind of by Dugway, right in between the Salt Flats,
you do for both
Wendover and Salt Lake. So it's most definitely a UFO hotspot out here. I see them, I feel them all the time. Every single time I walk out my back patio, I just feel,
you're in Utah, thought, right?
This is, yeah, I am.
Okay. Go
ahead. Right next to the Salt Flats. And then the mountains that I'm looking at right now, just over them is Death Valley and Skull Valley. Yeah, that's what it's called. Skull Valley and whatnot. That's, yeah. So anyways, I'm actually sitting right here where I had my most crazy experience, or I was sitting out here. It was roughly 3 o'clock in the morning. I stayed out here to actually practice with the pinwheel that I'm practicing with right now. I stayed out to practice telekinesis during witching hour, and it was storming. It was raining really hard all night. And so it got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm going to start getting sick if I don't get out of the rain for a second. So I came, I walked over underneath where I'm at right now, just the overhang of my house. And then I sit right here on the cement and I'm looking down at the mountains that block my view just to Dugway, which I have reason to believe is the original Area 51. And quote unquote Area 51 is just a distraction to get everybody's attention away from where it really is.
Yeah, eyes over here instead of over here. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So anyways, I'm sitting here, I'm watching, and I mean, my thoughts are all the time just like, I really feel like this is extraterrestrial ground. I feel very extraterrestrial and whatnot. But anyway, so I'm looking out here and I actually am watching just, I mean, lightning, of course. It's very, very aggressive lightning too. Like one point of the night, I was actually standing out. I took my shoes off because I knew that the ground would be so grounding that I might actually get struck by lightning. So I was actually standing in the middle of my yard waiting to be struck by lightning. And anyways, I feel later on it got crazy. It felt like I was being struck by lightning, but from within. And that's what unlocked true telepathy with the interdimensionals. But I was sitting here, I'm looking at the mountain, I'm just watching the lightning and it gets really aggressive. And I just have the thought, you know, what are the odds that lightning strikes the same spot twice, right? And the next thing you know, it hits the same spot in Dugway like 15 times over. And my whole house is shaking. The whole sky is grumbling. Like, it's almost scary. Like, if I was somebody else, I'd probably be inside at this point. But I'm still watching here and I'm noticing how at some points I'll be looking at the right side of the sky and a lightning bolt will travel all the way across the sky, go through a UFO and actually go straight into the ground. And just like a conductor, they're pulling this energy from all the way out here, wherever that is, letting it flow through them and reconnect with the ground. And I'm watching this happen quite frequently. And so I'm sitting here, it stops for a minute. Like, okay. And I just, all of a sudden, I see an actual funny story. Actually, I got scanned by this mothership the night before and they scanned my crystalline grid and they use my subconscious and my Akashic to actually do more space programming and stuff like that. Anyways, so I actually see this in person. I see it actually lift up behind the mountain. It just high enough to sit right over the peak of the mountain. And it sits there for maybe not even a full second. And imagine it's the center point of a plasma ball. And like, I don't know what you call those things at like the science fair or whatever. You put your hands on it and the electricity will come up from the center. It'll hit the outside of the glass ball that you're putting your hands on.
Right. Those are imagine plasma balls, yeah.
But the mothership UFO was the very center of it. And it pulled like 10, if not more, lightning bolts from around the sky. And they all made contact with the outside of this plasma ball and was being filtered through the densities of the plasma to power up the mothership UFO. And I see this happen literally like a split second. And then it descended back onto the ground. And after that, the entire sky lit up bright, bright blue, white light blue for roughly 10 seconds. And so, I mean, that was not just one, it was more like 15 UFO sightings in like 10 minutes, but it was really cool.
Wow. And that, and so the were they consistent thereafter?
Oh yeah, I see them here every night. Actually, they made it so that, because they give me downloads and they'll give me quote unquote galactic upgrades, where they send streams of light through the cortex of my mind, and it streams through, soaks in through all of my neural pathways. And then based upon all of that, data perception, really, it gets soaked into my third eye, sent down as a feeling, emotional intelligence to my heart that then gets released into my cells. And once my cells embody it, it soaks into my DNA at a subconscious level. So with that, I've had lots of experiences where they scan me. They'll give me, so these upgrades, that's what I was on.
Interesting.
This is where it's almost like how everybody's heard stories about how psychedelics, especially, and how that will kind of reframe your mind and allow you to just kind of like reshape the way that you think in general.
Well, it opens up the doors of perception with, that's what, you know, the band, The Doors, that's what they came up with. The Doors of Perception is from Huxley, you know, and he wrote Brave New World. But anyways, so like that, a lot of people I've talked to that have experiences or enlightenment or awarenesses have used psychedelics. Myself, I've used psychedelics, but I've been having these experiences since I was really young, ever since I can remember. And then it's for me, it's like, you know, after a while, it's like no big deal. And then just recently, like it's become a big deal. Like the last four or five, about 5 years, it's become an important thing. Like before, it wasn't that much. It was like, I knew it was there. They're always there. Everything
just like a hobby type thing.
Yeah,
like,
you know what I mean? But like once other people start getting involved, you know, once other people, you know, start having the same thing, and then that's where you start networking, and it becomes important at that point.
It really does.
It really does. I'm a big vibrational mushroom right now.
Me too.
It's an energy.
I always feel it. And then you can feel them coming. You could feel, you know what I mean? You could feel the, not the psychedelics, of course, but you don't know what I mean. The experiences, UFO experiences, like when they show up for me, I could feel them coming before they show up.
Exactly.
And when I edit,
and I mean, that,
especially when I edit the show,
we just happen to be outside for them, right?
Yeah, it just so happens. I mean, I capture them all the time. I mean, every single time. I mean, they've been outside all day, all night till the crack of dawn sometimes.
Well, so the next mission you need to do is you need to bring them down to land and they meet us.
I mean,
then you capture that on
these orbs coming to my porch.
Doing it, and then, you know,
I've had the orbs coming up, coming right onto the porch and everything, and into my hands. Seriously, I have it on tape.
There's a lot of experience I had too.
So. I have it all on tape too, all of it. So it's like I put up several surveillance cameras. I put full spectrum cameras up where, you know, infrared can see what the human eye can't see.
Exactly.
And then full spectrum has every spectrum of, you know, that light. That's
all
like
the layers.
Full spectrum camera at night looks like daytime. It's a trip.
I train my perception so I can see in six different dimensions. I teach practices how to do this, how to see through the human bodies. You can see the skeleton form, you can see the muscles and tissues, you can see the joints and ligaments and the lungs and, you know, all the organs and the brain. So I can change different dimensional visual perception experiences and then turn them off with just intention. And I can do this with a lot of things. I can do it, I can see right through like a wall. I can see through like a, anything really. I can really go into a very deep intention with energy and really visualize it really well.
Well, you know, like remarkable. Some people, if they had that kind of, you know, capability, they would be walking down New York looking at everybody naked. All right, look at that one. I can see her bones. All right. You know what I mean? But no, it's cool. I've heard of people being able to do that. Like,
I teach it so, you know, others can learn.
Wow.
That's what, you know, me and Garrett want to really present. We want to present this out there to people can learn these skill sets, not just the awareness of these amazing stories. We can just start practicing these abilities and mastery practices of moving objects and making telepathy possible more for more people. And also, you know, learning these step-by-step practice, what you need to do to, you know, acclimate your mind, your body, you know, and understand this, your subconscious and conscious mind, how it works, and really relate to what I'm experiencing so you can experience it as well. And it's really about, I feel, if a human, us as humans on this planet, really came together and worked on these practices more, then full disclosure will happen for a collective source of, if you fully believe that there's UFOs and those UFO are beings that can unite with us. I believe it's not about really kicking down the doors and demanding the government bring stuff forward. It's really about us as a one you know, collective source of love to come together and learn these practices and not be afraid of them and just, you know, build them in this sense of awareness.
So everybody has it within them, you know, these capabilities, yes, you know,
but they can be structured with a teacher like correct. Me.
There you go. And Garrett's a pupil.
Say that one yes. more time.
Is he a pupil, a student?
Yeah. Sort of.
Teacher and student.
Teacher and student. Yeah, both.
The thing that I stress yeah, both. The most.
We're all gurus. Is, we're all gurus.
Exactly. Yeah, we have been for thousands of lifetimes, too.
Everybody, I'm a guru. You are a guru. My godson. I'm not a guru. You are a guru. Blake, you're a guru. I'm a guru. We're all gurus.
Yeah.
Or gurus to a sense.
Yeah, to a sense. But everybody's on a different level, you know? So. It may be a, you know,
I understand what you're
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and anyway, so another thing that goes really, I feel like I need to stress this more than anything besides, like, of course, teaching it, you can do it. Anybody can do it. But there are actual universal laws that are very strict. I mean, that's why life is so brutal, is because they get broken. And they're not like the rigid linear go the speed limit type crap. It's like, you know, play with fire and life will burn you. Like that soul fire that fuels within, if you play around with that, it's like throwing magic, a potion at the wall and letting it blow up and literally disintegrate reality and you not knowing how to reverse it. It's like, I mean, the law of one, a lot of people know about the law of one, but not very many people know why it's even a thing in the first place and how important it really is. And karma, people know about karma, but they don't realize that it's everything. Karma is literally every single fiber that I talk about in the moment.
It's not about, it's not about the bad. That's why everybody's got the mistaken on it. It's funny. It's part of the cosmic joke. The cosmic joke is that. And once you get the cosmic joke, then you could just laugh at everything. Man. Seriously.
You can. You realize that it is just in the past. But
we're all one, know. And that's like, if we're all one, then no one's really special. So that's the other, exactly. The other aspect of it. Way I laugh. That's why it's why Buddha laughs, right? Buddha laughing. But anyway, yeah. Buddha's laughing. We all love everybody.
So and like, the golden rule.
We're going to wrap this up. And so like, Dan, give out some of your, social media platforms, your website,
no problem.
Whatever books, tell people.
I have a social media page. Branding, I call myself called Galactic Mastery. So you can check it out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok's real big. And that's where I do a lot of my videos now. Patreon, Galactic Mastery Patreon. You can sign up to learn a lot of these practices and abilities. I think it's very important to support it. And very important to learn these practices because more people learn them, more likely we achieve more peace on this planet. And it's a great process, like everything. It takes time, practice, patience a little bit. But it really helps build the love within your heart and love for others. Can I do it?
Yes, absolutely. Garrett, what do you have to say? Give out your word.
I don't really have anything that I post all the time on. I really just, my Snapchat people, they see what I do the most. If anybody wants to add me, it's Garrett. 2R's 2T's.hogue, H-O-G-G-E. I post my telekinesis. I break down some complex universal concepts, really, that help to reframe reality. I just really have been focusing on dropping the subconscious bombs and those seeds over the years to prepare for this 4D shift. I have a YouTube channel as well. It's called Ascentient Beings, Spiritual Evolution. I don't have anything uploaded as of now,
but there will be in the future. Okay. I guess I have an Instagram as well. Garrett_flips. I used to do flips, so I don't know. Not very public, but very off grid. Okay. But if anybody wants to reach out to me, Snapchat and Instagram are the best way.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on. Go ahead.
Me and Garrett might do a podcast together real soon.
Awesome.
So on one of the social networking sites.
You got to get me on now.
We're going to be all visual so we can send energy through the screen and everybody can feel it.
Yeah.
Feel the love.
Podcasts the Trinity. Podcasts are
fun. That would be really cool.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
That would be awesome. Yeah, awesome. Well, and you'll also have to reach out to me so I have your contact as well. I already have Dan's, of course.
Okay, yeah. I'll give you guys, Dan, I'll give it out. Here we go. I'll put mine out here. Giant Rod Podcast, giantrodpodcast.com. Anyways, then there's Facebook, that's where you could find some of the episodes. We're on 18 wonderful streaming platforms. Yes.
Very majestic.
It's so delicious.
That's awesome.
So, and then there's Bohemian After Dark podcast, and then that's the music thing that I've been doing for 40 plus years. Give you my age.
Oh no, he's old.
Yes, cool. I am old. And I could talk like this if I wanted to.
But anyways, Giant Rock podcast is not coincide with Bohemian After Dark podcast. Bohemian After Dark podcast is about music and everything that I've done in the past and kind of coincides with people that I have on from the past shows that I used to do on television. Remember that medium? That's gone. YouTube took it over. Anyways, and I miss Baba. Baba, we miss you, Baba, here, love. And we're going to be here now. And we'll see you next time. And thank you guys for coming on. Peace.
Peace and love and light.
Yes, indeed. Bye.
They're walking on the earth and driving cars all the time. And we don't realize it.
We still have the greed. We still want what we want when we want it. Because when we're getting just what we want when we want it, we have a certain feeling of, yeah, right on. You know when you're really thirsty and there's no water and you got a long distance to go and you finally get to a point where there's a cool glass of water. Or you need to go to the bathroom and you're on a long bus trip. That moment of getting just what it is that you wanted. It's a moment when you merge. You were somebody wanting the water. It's like with sex, it's very clear. You want the orgasm. You think, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. And then, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes. But at the moment, nobody's thinking anything. Nobody's thinking, this is it. There isn't anybody there to think anything. But that lasts about that long, unless you're can get it out to there, say. Master. Of the selfless moment, the moment when you're not busy being somebody doing something, the moment of flow. Now, the culture's been changing, and we're throwing off a lot of our guilt and shame. So what happens then? Everybody tries to come back to basic greed to get what they want when they want it. When you're hungry, you eat. But then you see people swelling bigger and bigger and bigger just out of pure greed. More and more ease, more and more comfort, more luxury, more, 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 more. If I get just a little bit more, it'll be just enough.